Hello and welcome to Your Only Fans on the Perfect Hat-Trick Podcast, where we talk more Euro 2020 matches and less over 18 content. Today on the podcast, I break down the opening day of the Euro 2020 knockout stages. First up, we go to the Amsterdam Arena in the Netherlands, where Denmark made Christian Eriksen proud.
And Mela for Denmark here, onto his favoured left. It's a brilliant finish. And that is the end for Wales. Knockout blow.
A double from Kasper Dolberg and goals from Jakob Mele and Martin Braithwaite were enough to see off Wales. A controversial red card from Harry Wilson was also a huge, huge talking point in the game. So yeah, I'm going to start by talking about my personal man of the match for this game. But I thought it was Jakob Mele, the Denmark left wing back. You know, I've heard of him at Atlanta. He signed for them in January from Genk this particular season. And he hasn't been playing much. He was kind of seen as that replacement for what you call him, Timothy Castagne, when he went to Leicester. And yeah, Mela's not had an amazing season, but he was chosen for Denmark's team. And the first game, he wasn't great against Finland, not going to lie. The second game, I thought he was very, very good. And the third group game was where, you know, he really, really shone for me. He scored that goal, obviously. He's, in this game especially, he was coming forward a lot and being that kind of overlapping fullback. You would rotate everywhere, make runs into the box, almost like a Dumfries, a player I'll mention a bit later, Spinazzola. And yeah, I just thought Mela was so good. That goal, you know, he was moved onto right wing back. First of all, it's not easy to go into a side that you're not comfortable playing on. But he was moved to right wing back. He came inside onto his left foot, back onto his strong foot, obviously, and smashed it past Danny Ward. You know, I believe it was very, very late in the game where he scored that goal. He did not, in a left wing back role, you need to have a lot of stamina. And this guy clearly has it. He was running the whole game and scored a banger in the last minute. So for me, Jakob Mele is a player who I think I'm definitely going to be looking to get my fancy team. And, you know, let's move a bit back Denmark's defence now. We've talked about Jakob Mele, their left wing back, but this defence is so solid. Simon Kjær, the captain leader legend today, amazing performance. He's taken the armband from Eriksen after that unfortunate incident. He's been so solid. No players can get around him. You know, Kiefer Moore, who's had a very good tournament, couldn't even get a sniff against Simon Kjær today. Andreas Christensen, who I'm going to talk about in a lot of detail in a second, he was very good, obviously very good. I'm going to talk about him in a second. And Yannick Vestergaard, who's not had the best season at Southampton, he was excellent. You know, Joachim Andersen, when he came on, nearly got a goal. The Denmark spine was something before the tournament. A lot of people were talking about. You had Schmeichel, a very, very good goalkeeper. You had the back three, very solid. Daniel Vass and Mele on the wings. And then you had, you know, Højbjerg and Delaney in the DM position. So the spine of the team is so, so good. And, you know, I've talked about the defence. I'll get onto the main CDM in this game today. But, you know, Højbjerg and Delaney, amazing from Højbjerg, amazing from Delaney. They are the screens of that team. And Højbjerg so comfortable on the ball, Delaney so comfortable. It just is so solid. And, you know, for me, one thing that was lacking for Denmark was that forward line, where Braithwaite is not known to be a clinical finisher. Dolberg, not known to be an amazing player. You know, Yusuf Poulsen, very unnatural finisher. But, you know, the spine of the team is so strong. You're bound to get a goal if you defend this well. And, you know, I'm going to talk about my second kind of man of the match for this game. Obviously, you guys know I'm a massive, massive Chelsea fan. And Andreas Christensen for this game, man, he was moved into DM to man mark Aaron Ramsey, sorry, and to kind of get on the second balls from Kiefer Moore from the goal kicks. And let me tell you today, wow, honestly, Christensen, when he moved in there, absolutely spotless from today. Let me just bring up the stat quickly. I believe it's from CFC News page. Andreas Christensen, numbers versus Wells, clean sheet, 31 touches, 4 duels won, 3 interceptions, 2 clearances, headers, 78% pass accuracy, 1 tackle, 1 block, 0 times dribble passed. I've been saying it for a while, like, to my friends, other people like that he is suited to be in a DM role. He reads the game so well. He can move vertically. He can cover space left and right. He's so, so good at man-marking players. This guy single-handedly takes players out of the game when he gets close to them. It's an absolute joke. And in a DM role, maybe you could say he's not as physical, but I think he's so comfortable on the ball, it takes away that little bit of physical edge. And Christensen today, I'm looking at him at Chelsea next season. I'm thinking, do we need a DM now with how well he's playing? Oh, it's honestly superb. Even when he moved back into that centre-back role, he looked so comfortable moving in and out of the DM on the right centre-back role position. And he didn't even put a foot wrong today. He was tracking runners in behind. He was stopping Ramsey. If you let Ramsey enter the game, you know, it is curtains for your team. And he really did that perfectly. I've got to give a lot of credit to Denmark's manager as well to change the game, change the tactics so soon into the game. And it really changed the game for the better. And Christensen, after that goal, you know, against, I don't even remember who was that goal against. I'm not even going to go off the top of my head. That absolute banger. Was it Turkey? No, it wasn't Turkey. He just... Belgium. 1 second, guys. Belgium. Finland. Russia. That goal, we smashed it. And this guy, for me, he thrives off confidence. We've seen under Lampard, he was clearly not being given the right confidence by the manager. And he played poorly under Tuchel. He's been given everything you need to succeed. And that's why he did so well in the second half of the season, in the CL final. After that goal, you can see that he has a lot of confidence and a lot of integrity and a lot of passion. So, yeah, AC, absolutely amazing. I'll talk a little bit about Dalsgaard. Dalsgaard obviously has come in for Christian Eriksen as that kind of replacement. And, yeah, Dalsgaard, what a play. So stylish on the ball, so composed. His dribbling is second to none. His composure, his finesse, you know. I'm saying all these technical abilities. And for that role, I think he's been very, very good linking up with, you know, Dolberg and Poulsen, who Dolberg was very good today as well. But I want to give a big shout out to Dalsgaard, who a Sampdoria player who, you know, he's very young at the minute and he did very well today. But also, I'll give a little shout out to Kasper Dolberg, 2 goals today. I mentioned in the preview right at the start of this kind of series that Dolberg is a player who I was surprised to. People aren't really mentioning as a big player because, you know, for Nice, he's been a good for Ajax, obviously, back in the days, 2 years ago, he was very, very good. So Dolberg's always been a good player. Maybe not lived up to the Erling Haaland kind of hype that we were expecting. But, you know, Dolberg's a great player. The first finish, right on the money. The second finish, smashed it to Danny Ward's near post. And a fair, fair play. Now, I'll talk about Denmark's overall play now in this game. They were better in every department, man. Honestly, Wales, I'll talk about them in a second. Defensively, Denmark was superb. On the money, no errors, just composed out from the back midfield, strong physical, composed, the wing backs, attacking, defending, just an amazing, amazing balance of forwards. Braithwaite today, big, big shout out, he was amazing, and I did not expect that from Braithwaite, but very, very good. And Wales just tactically outclassed. It's sad, but, you know, I think that does lead me on to talk about Wales, and yeah, I'm going to discuss Wales now. Unfortunately, for all the Wales fans listening to this, I'm very, very sorry, but I'm going to have to be very honest with Wales today. This is an absolutely abysmal performance. One of the worst performances I've seen in the Euros for years. And you could say, like I mentioned, Denmark tactically outclassed it. But a big, big factor of that was the poor, poor play. Defensively, mistakes. You saw the Nico Williams clearance for the second goal. I think it was the second goal. And just poor, poor play up from the back. Composed in the bad ways and just taking your time, being lackluster on the ball, just playing it without any kind of urgency and need for out from the back. That was poor. Joe Allen and Morel did not have a great game today. I'll get on to one player who I was very, very disappointed with today. Kiefer Moore, nothing really that. I don't blame him. There was no players to get onto his second balls. The fullbacks, you know, Conor Roberts got injured. Nico Williams, I don't know how this guy is a professional football player. Ben Davis, very, very poor. Joe Roden disappointed me today. Very, very poor from Dr. Sheep. Danny Ward, he's had a very, very good tournament. Awful, awful display from today. This was one of the worst tactical performances I've seen in my life at the Euros. Honestly, this was just a shambles. There was no clear game plan. It was just smash up to Kiefer Moore and hope for the best. Denmark really stopped Wales from performing today. And Wales are big benefactors of this whole change happening. They were just nowhere near the levels of Denmark. And I'm just disappointed. I'll go to the player I mentioned earlier. Gareth Bale today is supposed to be their captain. He's supposed to be the guy that they rely on for every single situation in the game, and you know, today really, really bad, really, really bad. You know, he didn't really off anything. He was too wide at times, and he was too central, too far away from Kiefer Moore. I don't get why he was still on the pitch by the end of the game. He was just absolutely abysmal to watch, and I think he should be very disappointed. I know he's not the same Bale as the last year, you know, banging in free kicks against England past Joe Hart, which he should have saved, and being that big, big player, but he's had a good season at Tottenham, the second half of the season. You expect more of him. And I'm sure the Wales fans are going to be disappointed because when your team is down, you look to your captain and you think, yeah, you're going to drag me out of this game. And no, just no. Honestly, no. You think of Simon Kjær for Denmark. Amazing performance. And you think of Gareth Bale. Absolutely dreadful. I'm poor. Let me talk about Wales. Just really poor in every department, as I mentioned. Robert Page is an interim manager. He's not an experienced manager. He managed the Wales under-21s for a few years. He was at Oldham Athletic, I believe, before that. So I didn't blame him. He's not a manager who's at this level. But these players, I feel like they did let him down. And the squad depth did come out in the end to bash him up. And, you know, before I move on to the next game, I'll say, you know, Denmark, I'm not going to gas him up too much. But I think they have a shout of getting very, very far in this tournament. They're in the quarterfinals now. They will be playing. Let me quickly check for you guys. Give me a second. They will be playing Holland or Czech Republic. And I think if they can keep out Depay and Weghorst and Marlon and use their counter-attacking skills, they can beat Netherlands or Czech Republic easily. And I think they could potentially get to the final if it comes to it. They'll probably be playing England or Germany after that, who, you know, are beatable teams as well. So this Denmark team, very, very good today. Honestly, very good. And Dolberg seems to be that finisher that they were lacking before. Dalsgaard's like creative spark. The midfield is very strong. The defence is strong. The goalkeeper's amazing. I like the look of this team. And they are the Turkey of the round of 16. You know, everyone expects them to do well. But Turkey didn't live up to it. Denmark are. And I'm very, very impressed. But Wales, unlucky, you are out. Back to the sheep farms for you guys. And unlucky, unlucky. Next up, we go to Wembley, where Italy relied on extra time to beat Austria. Goals in extra time for Federico Chiesa and Pessina, and a late reply from Kalajdzic were the main talking points from this game. So yeah, it did take 93 minutes, that is the one, for Chiesa to get that goal. And yeah, it was, I'll start by talking about Italy. The first half from Italy, decent. I'd say they were playing their similar football, you know, the midfield three very, very tight together, moving between the lines very well. The midfield, the front three, not as amazing. Defence, strong as per usual. That first half, Spinazzola, absolutely amazing. The second half, Italy, for me, were absolutely abysmal. They couldn't play passes. They were so poor in the final third. Defensively, making errors, allowing shots, allowing too much room, allowing Arnautovic to nearly score that goal. Luckily for them, it was offside. And yeah, I just thought Italy were awful in that second half. In the start of extra time, it's like Mancini whipped them all in the change rooms with a belt and just got them out there. And just made them ready for the game. And they were amazing. You know, Chiesa, what a dream substitute he is. I don't get why Chiesa isn't playing for them. I'll get on to Chiesa a little bit later. But yeah, the second half of the extra time, again, lackluster, allowing teams to go into them. I feel like when Italy go a goal up, they're good. But when they're 0-0, very, very bad. This has clouded doubts over whether I think they can win the tournament maybe now. But you know, they've gone through a hard patch in this game, and they've gone through, they've beaten whatever's in front of them, so fair, fair play to them. Who will they be playing in the next round? I'm going to quickly check. I believe it will be Belgium or Portugal. So yeah, that will be a very, very tough game, and we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'll get on to some of these players. I'll start with Leonardo Spinazzola. Absolutely amazing in that first half. He is the guy who, strength, pace, agility, everything with driving a player. So he was taking on his men. He was playing in beautiful crosses, the box, shooting everything in that first half. And I mentioned in the last episode, he is a hidden gem at this tournament. People don't really know Spinazzola as a big player before it started, but he is one of the best tackling fullbacks. He's, I feel, better than Jakob Mele in the left wing back role. He's, in my opinion, the same level as Denzel Dumfries in this tournament. He's been absolutely influential. I mean, he got another assist today as well for the goal for Chiesa, absolutely amazing. So, yeah, Spinazzola definitely is my man of the match today for Italy. Amazing, amazing performance. And, yeah, what can you say more about Spinazzola? Amazing, amazing. I'll talk about Jorginho a little bit now. Today, the start of the game, he made a crunching tackle right in the middle. He is known to press quite high in the system. He, you know, if he will leave his line, he will leave his opposition, his normal line to press high, and they will allow the two centre mids to kind of tuck in and cover that space. And just absolutely amazing from Georgie today. As a Chelsea fan, he's just won the Champions League with us. Let's give this guy a new contract. He's clearly, you know, I take back everything bad I've ever said about him. He is an absolute baller. He's a general and absolutely orchestrating the midfield. Everything went through him. His tackling, the passing. He's played pretty much every single minute in the tournament, maybe. I feel like he missed some of the last game of the group stages where he came off for Locatelli, I believe it was, something like that. And yeah, he did miss that game, but now, Jorginho is the main player for Italy. He is their big, big player who they rely on in situations. And he was playing four passes between the lines, over the lines. And yeah, Jorginho, very, very good. I mean, I want to give a big shout out to Chiesa, who came off the bench today. And he was sublime. He scored that goal. And beautiful, beautiful finish. He was taking plays on in the last minute. He got absolutely smashed by Hinteregger and taken down. But, you know, he was amazing, Chiesa, for this game. I think he should start for Italy, personally, in the next game. We'll get on to why in a second. But Chiesa, for me, what a performance from Chiesa today. I think, yeah, he should keep his head held up high. I think in that role, Italy have not been too good from the wing positions and up front. Immobile has been their reliable player. Insigne has just not been good this tournament at all, in my opinion, apart from that goal, obviously, against Turkey. But yeah, Chiesa should start the next game. He is clearly talented player. He's had a very good season at Juventus and Andrea Pirlo. And yeah, he does look like a great player. Domenico Berardi, I'll talk about him now. I think he's absolute crap, I'm not going to lie. I don't see why he starts. He cuts onto his left foot so unblatantly. Like, there's no skill. He just makes it so obvious that he's going to do it. And you just think, he must be so easy to defend against on the pitch. Yeah, he has a little bit of skill. He has no kind of intelligence on the ball. I mean, he has made a few good assists this tournament. Not many. And I just don't see what he does. He's just a very skinny, lanky Italian man on the wings. And he's very, very disappointing from Berardi. I don't think he should start the next game. Chiesa, for me, does so much more in that position. And maybe they can start getting some more goals on the attacking positions from these players. But you know, Italy as a whole, very, very solid today. I think I'm very, very impressed with how they fought back after a difficult spell in the game and managed to get the win. Many other teams could have lost that game today after a difficult spell. Even when Austria got that goal that was disallowed, they could have just... Italy could have just put their heads down and they thought, you know, it's difficult, we might just lose here. But this unit, like the interviews were saying on BBC before the game, Insigne was mentioning the team as a unit get on very well off the pitch, they bonded, and you can tell on the pitch there is a bond in difficult situations and good situations that allows them to win these games. And, you know, Italy, very, very good. I mean, let's talk about... I think we need to talk about Austria. I mean, a fair play to them. I did not think they were going to do well in the knockout stages. They really did not impress me with the Bundesliga FC in the group stages. But, no, Hinteregger today. Hinteregger, what a mad performance. Overall in the game, Spinazzola for Italy, yeah, they're man of the match. But Hinteregger, for me, is the whole game's man of the match. His interceptions, his last-ditch tackles, his strength, throwing his body at the ball, it means a lot to him. And he looks like my friend called Tom Overento from Football Twitter as well. But against Chelsea back in the days when Frankfurt, played against Frankfurt, he was really, really poor in that game. And yeah, he really made up for it today. Fair enough to Hinteregger. And yeah, he was our main player. David Alaba was very, very good today. Austria can leave with a heads held up high. They potentially only lost to the competition winners today. And yeah, I think Austria should leave this competition thinking, yeah, we fought for it, but we could have done more. We could have taken some of these chances. We could have pushed more because Italy could be there for the taking. And Austria proved that today. I think Italy are there for the taking. Good players, decent manager with Franco Foda, a good defence, and a nice style of football. So they play a high line. I do rate the bravery of that team. Alaba, unlucky, mate. He was very, very good in this game, like I said. And yeah, I just think Austria shouldn't be too down. They should be happy about this performance and, you know, leave okay. But yeah, we talked about these two teams. As I mentioned, Italy will be playing... Oh, I literally checked this just a second ago. Bear with me 1 second. So Belgium and Portugal in the next game, whoever wins that game. And yeah, Denmark will be playing... I checked this as well. Denmark will be playing Holland or Czech Republic. So yeah, it's interesting what's going to happen. And yeah, we'll see what happens in these two games. But yeah, I think I've rounded up these two games quite well. So I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. I'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Take care. Make sure to keep things perfect.